My name is Kyle Rogers, one of the pastors on staff here at Franconia Mennonite Church. And this is truly a day that the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad, for Christ our Savior has risen. Today we are live streaming for the first time. When the staff talked about the possibility of live streaming our services, we thought, what a better way to start live streaming than to start on Resurrection Sunday. We realize that we can't be together, but on this day, we want to be as close as possible with our community. We want to be as close as possible to celebrate this glorious day with you all. A special shout out to the Texan folks in our sound booth on making this possible. We thank you very much for your hard work. In John chapter 20, when Jesus appeared to the disciples after he had risen, we are told in Scripture that the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. We as believers in Jesus can be overjoyed because Jesus Christ is alive. He has conquered sin and death. The grave could not hold him. He is risen. Now, we also want to recognize that on a day like today, we like to do a call and response for our call to worship. To celebrate this joyful day of our risen Savior, we shout, "He is risen!" And the response back would be, "He is risen indeed." Now, I speak on behalf of the staff when I say that our hearts mourn that we cannot be together this morning and share in this with you all. But as death could not hold our Lord Jesus, we are not going to let social distancing hold us from proclaiming our risen Lord. Now, while social distancing is important, we did reach out to the congregation to send in a video of them proclaiming our risen Lord Jesus. So for our call to worship this morning, check out this video.
Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed.
He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is
risen.
Christ is risen, he is risen indeed.
Christ is risen, he is risen indeed.
Go ahead.
Jesus is risen.
Jesus has risen indeed.
Jesus is risen.
Jesus has risen indeed.
That's free.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
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 He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Join together in singing, and if you're able to stand where you are, the lyrics will be on the slides.
Savior, vainly they
the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
Let's pray together. Father, this day speaks of the many glorious and powerful ways that you are good. To be thankful of what you did through your Son Jesus is an understatement. We are eternally grateful to have a Savior that took on the full burden of sin for all. we celebrate the fact, Lord, that the tomb is empty, that death has been overpowered, that sin has been conquered, and we owe it to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, O God. Lord Jesus, as you conquered sin, we ask you to conquer sin in our own hearts. Search us, O God. Deliver us from the sin and temptation in our hearts. We confess our deep need for you, Jesus. This day of your resurrection helps us to remember that you, Lord, have made things new. Make our hearts new. Make our minds new. Make our lives new. Make them new for you, Lord, in the days ahead of us. Father, we acknowledge that this is a day we desire to celebrate with you first, but also with our family and friends. In light of everything going on in the world, Lord, that's not possible for most. And Lord, although we can't be together with those close to us, we can be with you. Help us to fix our eyes on you and focus on you. Lord, we pray your healing hand upon those who are close to us, those in the community, and those in the world who are sick and struggling. Bring them your comfort and your peace. Give them the strength to trust in you. Lord, help us to spread joy on this day. You are risen. Give us ways to be messengers of this joy. Death could not hold you, and neither can this virus, O God. May the good news be known to the community and the world, especially during this time where people need to hear good news the most. Shine your light in and through us. May we, Lord God, be your vessels. May we make a difference in this world that is for your glory, your purpose, and your honor, to increase your kingdom, O God. Thank you, Father, for the amazing gift of salvation you have given us through your Son, Jesus. To you be the glory, honor on this Resurrection Sunday and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we continue, just a few brief announcements. We want to share with you that our sharing fund, which provides financial assistance to members in the congregation, is available for those who are members of the church here. We just wanted to remind you to please contact a pastor or a member of the Community Life Ministry team, which can be found in your handbook, if you are aware of a particular financial need that you might have. Let us help bear one another's burdens. And then while we want to help our congregation, we also have our community needs account for our community. We want to encourage members to be agents of witness and kindness with unchurched neighbors and coworkers. So if you have a neighbor, a coworker, a friend that is in need or needs a financial assistance, please contact the pastors and we will be able to guide you on the right path to help them. So with that being said, I now want to invite Bronwyn Leister, our Director of Children's Ministry, to come forward. She is going to bring us a children's moment this morning. Bronwyn.
Hi, friends. Happy Easter. This morning, I brought my Easter basket filled with Easter eggs. I love all the colors that Easter has to bring, and now the Easter eggs can come in, you know, different people form things, you know, all kinds of different colors, sayings, sizes, just like people, they're all different. I don't know if you had your Easter egg hunt yet this morning or not. I grew up searching Easter morning for an Easter basket, and I still continue that tradition with my children. But the best part of finding an Easter basket, whether it's filled with eggs or treats, is looking inside and finding your surprises. But mine are empty. You know, this can remind us of how we are before Jesus comes to live in our life. You can feel empty, like something's missing, and you can't find what that is. Sin causes our life to be empty. But Jesus overcame sin and death so we can be forgiven. He forgives us of our sins. He wants to fill us with his abundant life, a life filled with good things, a life that's forever and never ending. When we turn away from our sin by doing what God wants us to do, that means we turn away from our selfish desires. We look to God and we trust in Jesus to save us. He forgives us and fulfills us. Have you ever heard of the fruits of the Spirit? There are 9 of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when God comes into our lives, he fills us with these good things. So when you open your eggs today or look inside your basket and you see all these wonderful treats, remember how God wants to put his life and all of these good things in you when you trust in Jesus. Now, when you get an Easter basket, you didn't pay for any of these things in here or the treats. Somebody else wanted you to receive them. They wanted to bless you. And just like Jesus, he wants to give you a good life, things filled with wonderful things. All we need to do is receive it. So what do you do with your eggs after you find them? You take them, you empty them, and you find a special place for them in your home. When Jesus finds us, he forgives us, he fills us, and he welcomes us into his family so that one day we can spend forever with him in heaven. 1 John 4:9 says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God first, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God doesn't wait for us to get it right before loving us. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God loves you and I so much that he showed us by sending Jesus, his Son, to earth. And that's what Easter is all about. So when you're hunting for your Easter eggs or your Easter basket, remember this. Without Jesus, we are lost and we need to be found. With Jesus, we are forgiven. All of our sins have been paid for and taken away. Without Jesus, we are empty, but he can fill us. With Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he puts us in his family so that one day we will be forever with him in heaven. Have a blessed Easter.
Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men.
The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you."
So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them.
"Greetings,"
he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them,
"Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Well, thank you, Carmen and Mikey, for reading our scripture for us this morning. And thank you to all of you who submitted videos of yourselves for the opening acclamation, that call and worship, the call and response to open our worship this morning. I don't know about the rest of you, but I have really missed seeing our church family these last number of weeks. And so it was really good just to see some of your faces and hear some of your voices in these videos. We'll actually have a chance at the end of the sermon here for you to see and hear from more folks from our faith family. So plan to stick around for that. You know, I've said a lot over these past few weeks that we are currently in a period where we are practicing physical distancing, but spiritual solidarity. We are physically distant from one another, but we are spiritually connected. And there is no other day in the entire year where the source of our spiritual bond is on fuller display than today, Resurrection Sunday. The story of Easter is the profound, compelling, subversive, beautiful insistence that no matter how bad things may get, no matter how dark it may seem, no matter how hopeless we may feel, the good news is that it is not always going to be like this. Because in the end, Sunday comes, Jesus rises, and love wins. That was true for the disciples on the first Easter morning, and it is true for us here today as well. Friends, it is not always going to be like this. And we know that that is true. We have confidence in that declaration, not just because of mere wishful thinking, but because of the hope and the promise of this day, because of the power of the resurrection. And so on this unusual Easter Sunday, I want to invite us to once again consider this familiar Easter story. Perhaps the unusual circumstances that we find ourselves in will help us see this story with fresh eyes and hear it again with fresh ears. So let's consider the story together. What does the resurrection have to say about coronavirus and our current situation? One of the places that we read about the resurrection is in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapter 28. I want to have us pick up in verse 5. Just as a quick recap, in the first four verses of this chapter, the women come to the tomb where Jesus' body has been buried. There is a giant earthquake, and an angel appears. When the angel appears, the angel does three things. First, the angel rolls the stone away from the tomb. Second, the angel kind of freaks out the guards who are stationed there. And then third, the angel speaks to the women. And that's what I want us to think about and focus on this morning. What does the angel say to these women? What is the angel's message in this moment of darkness and uncertainty and fear? And what might we be able to learn from that? So let's take a look. This is the message beginning in verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." So notice what the angel says. The angel says not only that Jesus has risen, but that Jesus said this was going to happen. And that's true. Before Jesus was crucified, before he was arrested, before Jesus even entered Jerusalem, listen to what he says. John chapter 20, he gathers 12 of his closest friends together. And this is what he tells them. He says, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Now, here's the deal. I think it is easy for many of us to sort of gloss over this fact because we are so familiar with this story, but don't underestimate the significance of this. It is kind of a big deal that Jesus says this when he does, and then things play out the way they do. Right? In Matthew 20, Jesus says he's going to be crucified and then raised on the third day. And in Matthew chapter 28, our text for today, that's exactly what we see. The angel says, I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. In other words, his word is proven true. Jesus is true to his word, and therefore Jesus can be trusted. I think that's one of the reasons that Easter matters, particularly in the midst of this situation that we find ourselves in. It affirms the very simple, but yet in other ways, incredibly profound truth that Jesus can be trusted. The resurrection is this explosive declaration that Jesus is who he said he was, and therefore Jesus can be trusted. So I want to ask the question for us this morning. Where are you at today with trusting Jesus? Now, I've phrased that question very carefully, so hear me. Where are you at this morning with Jesus? Not with church, not with religion, not with institutions or denominations. Where are you at this morning with Jesus? That is ultimately the question that matters. Because here's the deal, and I'll just be real honest with you. Church, religion, denominations, and institutions, all of those sort of human constructions, they have the potential to be really, really beautiful and life-giving. I've experienced that. But those things also have the potential to be really disappointing and distorted and at times even destructive. I've experienced some of that too. And so my question for you this morning is, where are you at with Jesus? I think this is a particularly important question if you're watching this right now and you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian. Maybe you're not sure whether you believe in God or not. Or maybe you did believe in God at one point, but then you got burned by the church. You got hurt by some religious people, and so you walked away from the whole thing. Whoever you are, but particularly if you have doubts, real legitimate doubts, I would just stress the importance of this question today. Where are you at with Jesus? When all the other baggage and all the other junk is stripped away, that's what ultimately matters. Because gang, we do not place our trust and our hope in religious institutions or flawed people. We place our trust and our hope in the person of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that the resurrection points to is this fact that Jesus can indeed be trusted. What would it look like for us? What would it look like for you to more fully trust Jesus with every aspect of your life? I think that's a question worth considering this morning. It's a question I've been considering this week, and it reminded me of a situation that happened about a decade ago. Some of you know that I have a nephew named Jake. Jake is a teenager now, but at the time of this story, he was like 5, 6 years old. So Jake and I were hanging out one day, we were playing, and we went to the dollar store and we bought one of those balsa wood airplanes. You remember those that comes like in a package like this? It's made out of this really cheap, flimsy wood. And so you take it out of the package and you put it together yourself. So you've got the body of the plane and you've got the wings and you insert the wings here. They got this fin, you put that on the back, and then there's this metal clip out in front. You need that so it can fly. Remember these balsa wood airplanes? Any adults watching this right now with kids, pause the video, take a few moments to explain to them the joys of a balsa wood airplane. Because these things, I mean, this is like my childhood right here. This is fantastic. So we had one of these balsa wood airplanes. And so we're out there playing one day, and it was a perfectly breezy day to be playing with one of these. It wasn't too windy, right? Too much wind and the thing won't fly. It was a perfectly breezy day, just enough breeze to carry the plane along. So we're out there playing, and yeah, we are having a blast. Jake is just loving it. I am loving seeing how much joy he is taking in this. It's this really, like, cool moment of uncle-nephew bonding. It was great. Unfortunately, our fun did not last for very long, because here's what happened. After about 15 minutes, somebody threw the plane. And I'm not going to tell you which one of us threw it, but it wasn't me. So somebody threw the plane, and just as he let it go, there was a huge gust of wind that came up behind him. Now, like I said, this was not a particularly windy day until that exact moment. He threw the plane, there was a huge gust of wind, and that thing just took off. I mean, I'm saying, I have never seen a balsa wood airplane go that high or that far before. It was incredible. The only thing about gusts of wind, though, and you may know this, gusts of wind eventually die down. And when this particular gust of wind died down, our plane went straight into a nosedive. Now, the problem is, because the wind had carried the plane so much higher and so much further, as our plane made its fairly rapid descent, it was no longer headed toward the soft, grassy area that it had been earlier. It was now headed straight for the driveway. You can probably see where this story is going. So sure enough, the plane goes into a nosedive, it hits the pavement, and it just goes to pieces. The plane is all kinds of jacked up. Now, when that happened, two thoughts went through my mind almost simultaneously. The first thought was, that was sweet. I mean, honestly, I'd never seen a plane go that high or that far. And yeah, it ended badly, but that was cool to witness the plane do that. That's my first thought. My second thought was, that was a good investment. We paid $1 for the plane. We got 15 minutes of genuine fun out of it. That's a pretty good deal in my book. So the plane crashes, my first two thoughts. Sweet and good investment. Jake, on the other hand, was not thinking either of those two things. I could tell this because he immediately burst into tears. So he burst into tears and he goes running over to the driveway to try to salvage the wreckage of his broken plane. And so he's there on his hands and knees trying to fix this plane with all of its pieces. The problem is he's crying, and so his eyes are blurred with tears, which makes it harder for him to see what he's doing. And he's making no progress on this plane. I mean, it's pretty messed up. And so he is trying. He's trying with all his might, but his little fingers just can't get the pieces to work. And so he's trying his best, but he can't get the plane back together no matter what he does, no matter how hard he tries. He just can't get it to work. And so finally, this is what he does. He scoops up all the pieces of his plane. And he brings them over to me, and with tears still streaming down his face, he holds it up like this. And he says, Uncle Josh, fix it. I can't do it on my own. Please, fix it. As I think about what it means and what it looks like for us to trust Jesus with our lives, I think that's a pretty good picture. Jake knew that he could not fix the brokenness by himself. And so what did he do? He went with expectation to somebody he loved and trusted, and he offered the whole thing up. Friends, I think that's our invitation this morning as well, to go to a God who loves us and a God who can be trusted and to offer our whole lives up. So in many ways, I think our lives are a lot like that balsa wood airplane. Sometimes we're cruising along just fine. Sometimes we get caught up in things that are way too big for us. And sometimes in life, quite frankly, we just crash and burn. And the hope and the promise and the good news of Easter, the good news of the resurrection, is that when that happens, we can go to God and offer the whole thing up. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've been through. It doesn't matter how badly you've crashed and burned. It doesn't matter how you've messed up or how jacked up your past is. It doesn't matter the doubts and insecurities that you are feeling in this moment. The invitation of Easter is to go to God and to offer it up, our whole selves, our whole lives, to offer it to Jesus. And we can do that with confidence, because of the resurrection, knowing that Jesus can be trusted. If you've never done that before, if you've never offered your life to Jesus before, or maybe you've done that at some point in the past and since then you've crashed and burned a little bit, feels like your life is in pieces or in shambles, the invitation for all of us on this day is the same: to go with expectation for the first time or for the thousandth time to a God who loves us and to a God who can be trusted, and to offer it up. As the angel told those women on the first Easter morning, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said. But that's not the only thing that the angel tells the women. And so I want to point out one other thing that the angel says. Pick up here in verse 6, Matthew 28, verse 6. The angel says, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Notice how many times telling someone the good news is emphasized. Right? The angel tells the women, and the angel even makes a point to say, now I have told you. The women are instructed to go tell the disciples. The disciples go to Galilee, and when they get there, Jesus meets them and commissions them to go and tell the rest of the world. Evidently, good news is meant to be shared. See, the invitation of this day is not only to offer ourselves to Christ, but also to tell the good news to others that there is one who can be trusted. It is no secret that these are challenging times in our world right now, and people are craving good news. It seems there's bad news everywhere we look, and so people are seeking out any good news they can find. I'll give you just one brief example. Some of you might recognize this person. This is an actor named John Krasinski. He's an actor perhaps best known for his role on a TV show called The Office. He plays a character named Jim. Well, John is in quarantine like the rest of us right now. And a few weeks ago, he decided that he would start putting out short little videos highlighting some good news taking place in the world around us. He's creatively titled this series, Some Good News, SGN. And he sets it up kind of like a newscast. And honestly, it's kind of quirky, low budget, not super fancy, not high production value. And yet in 2 weeks, it's been viewed over 30 million times. 30 million views. Well, why is that? I would argue it is not due solely to the quality of the content, but also has to do with the moment in which we find ourselves. We are in an age of anxiety, and people are seeking good news. And y'all, in Easter, in the resurrection, we have the best possible kind of good news. And it's meant to be shared. The challenge, I think, for many of us, and again, we'll just be honest, the challenge for many of us, myself included, is we are often far too reluctant to share that good news with others. I was thinking about that this week, and I was reminded of a recent trip I took to the dentist. I don't know what your dentist is like, but mine is fantastic. She's very friendly, very upbeat, very talkative. Every time she comes in, she's just full of conversation. And that's, you know, in some ways nice, but it is also difficult to have a conversation with her when her fingers are in my mouth. So she is talking and having this great conversation, and I'm just making little grunting noises. And so this last time I was there, partway through the conversation, she kind of gave up talking with me and turned and started talking to the dental hygienist who was still in the room. And so they're having this conversation, and at one point, one of them asks the other a question about sports. I'm a fairly big sports fan, and so the answer to this question was very obvious to me. Okay, it was like, did the Sixers win last night? I was wearing a Sixers hoodie at the time. That's what prompted this conversation. So, like, did the Sixers win, and what was the score? That was the question. Neither of them knew the answer, though. And so they are trying to figure it out. They're trying to remember, well, what did I see on the news, and did they even play last night? Maybe the Sixers didn't play. Who was the opponent? They didn't know answers to any of these questions. And I'm sitting there in the chair like, I know. I can tell you. I can tell you if they won. I can tell you who they played. I can tell you what the score was. I can tell you how many points Joel Embiid scored. I can tell you how many open three-pointers Ben Simmons refused to shoot. I can tell you whatever you need to know. I know the answers to the questions that you're asking. I couldn't say any of that, though, because I had fingers in my mouth. I was unable to share the news that I possessed. I am fully aware that this is just a goofy little example, but it was actually kind of frustrating to have this information and not be able to speak it. There's a difference between knowing good news and sharing good news, isn't there? And so I think the same kind of thing is true in our lives. For those of us who have placed our trust in Christ, for those of us who have embraced the power of the resurrection, we have this incredible message to share. This message of life and light, this message of grace and peace, this message of forgiveness and salvation, this message of hope and the assurance that it is not always going to be like this because Jesus can be trusted. We have this incredible message. And yet far too often we allow our own fear and insecurity to prevent us from sharing that news. We often move through life the way I sat in that dentist's chair. People around us are asking questions, seeking answers to life's deepest mysteries. Is this all there is? How can I find meaning and purpose in my life? I have everything I ever wanted. Why do I still feel so unfulfilled? Does my existence actually matter? You know, people are asking questions. They are seeking answers. They are craving good news. And in the resurrection of Jesus, we have a meaningful response. We have hope to offer. We have good news to share. And so this Easter, particularly this Easter, when so many around us are filled with such uncertainty and anxiety, my hope and my prayer, and frankly, my challenge for those of us who consider ourselves Christians, would be for us to find ways of doing what the angel did and what the women did and what the disciples did, to go and to tell with our lips, yes, and with our lives, because good news is meant to be shared. But of course, that raises the question, and I will wrap up with this. That raises the question, what does good news look like in the midst of COVID-19? Where can we as a people of faith still find reasons to hope, even in the midst of the coronavirus? Well, that's the question that I asked all of you. And you gave some pretty good answers. Earlier this week, I invited anyone from the congregation to submit a picture of themselves depicting glimpses of hope or ways that they have seen God at work in the past month. So what glimpses of hope have you seen? And how have you seen God at work in the past month? Many of you submitted answers, and since good news is meant to be shared, I want to share those with you now. Take a look.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior. Curses. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still. Oh,
Friends, this Easter, may we offer up our lives to the one who can be trusted. And may we share the good news that nothing can separate us, not sin, not sickness, not death. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Please join and sing along.
God sent his Son.
Friends, by way of benediction, take these words with you. Jesus' resurrection was not an end in itself, nor was it only for the benefit of his closest disciples. It is for all. Jesus can be trusted. Jesus is good news. He is risen. Let's share it. Amen.
Far than time.
righteous do the lowest tell. The guilty pair bow down with care and give his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean filled, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every one a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, go stretch from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
We all wish you a blessed, holy, joyous Easter. Amen.